Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This season, Live Score is the only place where you can watch every single UEFA Champions League game for free. That means more goals, more unforgettable drama, more end-to-end action. And whether you're watching on your phone or tablet or casting to your TV, the free Live Score app gives you even more ways to watch. Live Score, the new home of the UEFA Champions League. It's more than a score. Download now on the App Store or Google Play.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 21st Century Football, a complete guide to football in the 21st century. The clue's in the title. Each week we pick a player that we've loved from the last 20 plus years and we break it down and we celebrate them. Today, it's Gareth Bale, the Welsh wizard, fantastic at golf, and he's not bad at football too. And I'm joined, as ever, so I was just a bit reluctant to say, I don't know if that says more about our relationship than anything else ever would. It's Statman Dave.
Thanks. I'm still here.
Yeah,
they still want me around, which is good. It's nice. Always nice.
Nice little Burberry number today for the people that are watching on YouTube.
It's actually Burton. But
Burton.
Yeah, but again, we shouldn't be naming sponsors. There's other shirts around. You know, we haven't got a sponsorship yet, have we?
They're making shirts like that. They can sponsor straight away. And welcome back, Niamh. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm excited for this one.
Last time we started, it was about Aguero, and we sort of started on a downer because he relegated your team. Gareth Bale, have you got any ill will against him?
He also relegated. No, he didn't relegate my team. He's okay. Good. Yeah, he's an okay player, yeah.
Oh, nice stuff.
Your face completely dropped then. You thought that was actually true. Gareth Bale, we've basically invited Niamh on, and both of the players have relegated Bolton.
Well, I know what relegation's like, so I wouldn't want to wish that on anyone, Niamh.
Yeah, you do, as a Birmingham City fan. Yeah.
We've had it a lot. We start, as ever, with the Wikipedia page. Now, we're not going through the whole Wikipedia page, because that would take too long, but we've each got a little headline. Niamh, can I start with you?
Gareth Frank Bale, born 16th of July 1989, is a Welsh professional footballer who plays as a winger for Premier League club Tottenham Hotspur, on loan from Real Madrid of La Liga and the Wales national team.
On loan at Tottenham at the moment, Niamh, and he recently came out and said he's going back, which, you know what social media is like. Most people are saying that he's using Tottenham for a bit of training.
Yeah, work experience, get himself at the Euros. Which says a lot, really, considering his relationship with Real Madrid, that he seems to want to go back. Although I don't know if that's just because at the end of the day he is contracted to go back. So
he clarified that, didn't he? Yeah. He said that I am contracted to go back to Real Madrid. It's not like, you know, one thing.
Yeah.
And his relationship with Zidane is such a weird one. Such a weird one. Obviously, we're going to go on to the Champions League stuff, but what do you think it is?
I just think they don't like each other.
It's just straight up.
They just need to find a common goal, and, like, you know, maybe that could be golf, but I don't think it would be, because that would have been established by now.
Yeah.
Might be a book. You know, they've
just got to find a book together.
No.
Like a children's book, like Frank Lampard.
Don't be a dickhead. They've just got to find one thing that brings them together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing that jumps out at me, the name Frank is second name. Second name's Frank.
Is it?
I just didn't think Gareth was a
Your
Frank.
Your second name's Statman Frank Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Your second name's Frank?
I just didn't think Gareth was a Frank. It never struck me as that's the type of guy he is. But maybe we've got more in common than I thought.
You've got Irish roots, haven't you?
Irish, Scottish, Swiss.
Not Welsh,
though. And very much Cockney. So a real mixing pot.
You ain't got any Cockney in you. Dave, do you want to read your bit of the Wikipedia page?
On the 1st of September 2013, Bale was transferred to Real Madrid for an undisclosed fee. Press at the time reported that transfer value at a figure between €91 million and €100 million. You could buy yourself a small island in the Caribbean for that, maybe.
I've got a really interesting fact as well. Goes quite in detail. Bale is teetotal. There we go. Any thoughts on that, guys? Well, I mean, we've spoke previously, Niamh, and Dave is quick to condone certain players' lifestyles and healthy eating, but Bale being teetotal.
Yeah, you'll be pleased to know he's also got a fully functioning bed.
Wow.
I think that is the big thing. That's what I wanted to know. But Gareth Bale's had his injuries, so maybe he's got the wrong type of bed. Maybe they need to give the podcast a call. His agent can get in touch.
I heard it's a memory foam mattress.
Maybe that's why I need on the podcast. Knowledge like that. Maybe that's how we can fix Gareth Bale's back, hamstrings, whatever. The last little bit, sorry, I didn't quite finish off the game. In January 2016, documents were leaked, and apparently the fee was above what I'd mentioned previously, €100.8 million, which is a record transfer fee. At that time in the Premier League, was Gareth Bale worth over €100 million?
Well, this is pre-Neymar, so you've got... Because when Neymar's transfer comes in, I mean, that messes everything up. But... That watching back that season when I think he wins the PFA Player of the Year award, the goals in that are like, it's like he's playing FIFA on his own. They're absolutely unbelievable. And it's a good Spurs side, but it's not a great Spurs side, which made me think, imagine if he was in the prime Bolton team 2001, Neve. With Ivan Campo around
JJ
him.
JJ Kotcher.
Oh, it's going to win the Premier League, that.
But what were your first memories of him?
I think the first memories... Probably a young kid coming through at Southampton that was quite slight. Not the greatest defender. Was, there's a lot of talk of him going forward in an attacking sense, like we know fullbacks these days like to do.
Yeah.
But I think it took him time. I think maybe the transfer to Tottenham was a little bit early, like similar to Theo Walcott moving from Southampton to Arsenal. I think it just kind of shows that, look, if you do sign these young players, pulling them out of situations that they're comfortable in, that they're growing in, maybe not the best thing.
Yeah.
That always makes me think, like, what did they see when they signed him? Did they see him as the defender and then obviously went on to play like that for Tottenham? Or did they see something else? Like, what potential did they see in him to think, we're going to sign him?
Well, as you pointed out as well, his start to his Tottenham Hotspur career was absolutely abysmal, wasn't it?
Yeah, 24 games, not able to win in any of those games. It's not a good start. And you almost think then... Just, I don't get the signing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't. What do they see in a player?
100%. I think they're signing a left back, and they played him predominantly at left back in that spell. But when you look at Bale and his strength, his ability to carry, his power, his drive has always been there. So you think naturally that's someone that you could play higher up the pitch. But I think it shows recruitment and certain clubs doing certain things. Harry Redknapp was in charge at that time, wasn't he? He didn't quite know Gareth Bale. He was going to send them out on loan.
Well, I think we were chatting before we recorded. He was going to sell him at one point. There's a Daily Mail article that always does the round when Bale does something good, where he nearly signed for Blues for £3 million.
Birmingham City, that is.
Yeah, well, so I don't even think I need to prefix that, because that is the ultimate city. But yeah, I mean, just think what could have been.
What could have been? But I think one of the days that kind of he stepped up was that Inter Milan Champions League.
In the San Siro.
I think that was when we saw Bale in a different ilk, like we're sort of saying, from a defender to a midfielder. I think that was the game where we thought, wow, Aaron Lennon on one wing, Gareth Bale on the other wing. Devastating.
Yeah, because in the first game, they still end up losing, don't they? But he makes a mug of Maicon. But then when they get them back to White Hart Lane, as it was, absolutely destroys him, doesn't he, Niamh?
Yeah, Maicon at the time as well, one of the best players in that position in the world.
I think he was the best.
Yeah, and he made him look average.
Which I think the interesting side is sometimes when you're really, really fast as a defender, use your pace to get out of a lot of situations. Sometimes your position isn't great. And Maicon was the attacking right back that was so, so good in the final third. And I just don't think he was used to playing someone
was just that bit faster than him, and quite a bit faster than him. And you remember that, the direct play and him just running at him, and everything was going right. And it was one of those interesting situations where it was actually a left footer playing on the left, but he was scoring goals, you know, striking across the goalkeeper. And I think when you look back on Gareth Bale and his emergence, it is interesting that he started there. And I sort of expected him to kind of move back to the left-hand side at some point in his career, but it hasn't really happened. And maybe that's what Zinedine Zidane could have done post-Cristiano Ronaldo. Maybe that could have worked. But just going back to that last season at Tottenham, under Andre Villas-Boas, unplayable that year. And he's playing as a number 10. He's playing 4-2-3-1 as a number 10. So explosive. And I think the thing that really struck you that season was that power from range. That ability to hit the target.
That
from
one
range.
Against West Ham wasn't.
Was one against last Stoke minute. As well. I think I can remember that was
a volley
that
on
was
the
just
angle.
Incredible.
The Britannia, Dave. If
the
you will.
Britannia. And I think right at that point, you know, going back to the question that I kind of asked, was he worth 100 million? Yeah, I think he was.
Real Madrid saw a player that had a lot of qualities that aren't coachable. So when you bring him to a team of that quality of Real Madrid, he's just going to get better and better, and absolutely worth every penny.
And he just fitted in, didn't he? Where it was almost like that the position that he fitted into was made for him, wasn't it? Because you had Benzema, Ronaldo and Bale, and for the first couple of seasons it seemed to fit perfectly.
BBC.
Yeah, nice.
That's what they were known as. But I think it's the blend of what you've got as a forward line. You've got that false nine player that's going to come off the line through the middle. Ronaldo's going to get into the box. But Bale can be that direct option. He's going to just be direct. He's going to get the ball and he's going to drive at you on the inside. He's going to look to get shots away. But also, I think that interesting side with that Real Madrid team was the aerial threat they had. Ronaldo, we know he's unbelievable at, you know, the height that he's got, the jump reach he's got. But Bale, very underrated in the air.
Good timer of a header.
Great time. He's one of the top scorers, I think, in the Champions League in that era with his head, with Ronaldo, but with Benzema as well. Obviously, they crossed a lot from fullback, that Real Madrid team. Marcelo on that left-hand side. I think, you know, not only was he that ability to create something, but they'd have bodies in the box. And it made them so hard to play against, that Real Madrid team. And that, you know, why they won three Champions Leagues in a row. One of the only sides to do that in the Champions League era. Yep. You got to go back to, you know, either Bayern Munich or Ajax with Cruyff or with, you know, Gerd Müller. Unbelievable teams. And Bale was a massive part of that.
Neve, he sort of, when he's come back to the Premier League, didn't start off how he wanted to with this sort of new Spurs season. Maybe muddied the waters a little bit on his legacy. Do you think he gets the credit he deserves?
It's hard because I really find it difficult to hold it against Bale, because I get that he's been out of form. I get his attitude is questionable with the stuff that he's done. But at the same time, I look at that Mourinho team and I look at the players and I sometimes think, if you're an attacking player, you're so restricted in that team. And I remember it was a game I was watching when he first like come into the team, and he just didn't really look like he knew where he was supposed to be on the pitch. And I almost wonder what Mourinho's telling him to do and how much freedom he's letting him have. I mean, this is a side that's got Kane and Son, which they want to use them as their source of goals. And it's almost like everybody else has got a different role on the pitch, and it doesn't really matter if they enjoy that role. And I think that as a team, Tottenham are a very restricted team. So for me, I find it really difficult to hold it against him. And we've seen, with a little bit more freedom, we've seen some of the recent goals that he scored and performances he's put in, and we're seeing bits of the old Gareth Bale come back. So for me, I don't think it's muddied his legacy at all at Tottenham. It doesn't deserve to.
I think it's more muddied Mourinho, because we kind of can see again that Mourinho can't get X amount of good attackers into the side. You know, mentioned Son and Kane. They were the guys that kind of like cheat a little bit. They sit on the counter. That's Gareth Bale. And you just can't fit in the Premier League in the current state right now. You can't fit three of those players in. Dodgy transfer recruitment from Daniel Levy. You know, bringing Mourinho in was dodgy in the first place, but then putting someone like Gareth Bale in there that's going to take a bit of... I think what Gareth Bale needed was an arm around the shoulder. He needed a Jurgen Klopp, not a Jose Mourinho. He needed somebody to say, look, you are a great player. Let's get your match fit and let's get you playing. It feels like Mourinho was like, let's get your match fit. Now you've got to do something, but you've got to do that within a structure that doesn't suit you. And I do feel for Gareth Bale. I think his legacy's kind of done in European football, in a sense of he's been unbelievable in the Champions League, had a great spell at Tottenham in the Premier League. It is more about Wales. Like, that's where it feels for me right now, is it is like...
I think that's what he's most passionate about as well right now, because that's a country, that's a team of players that respect him, that I'm sure rally around him in the changing rooms. He'll feel like a god there compared to what he feels at Tottenham and Real Madrid.
Well, it's a unique legacy as well, isn't it, at Wales? Because, I mean, to get to the semi-finals of the Euros in 2016 for a country the size of Wales...
Incredible.
I mean, that's like moments of a lifetime, isn't it?
It is, but I think that you know they should do well again, because I think, like sort of saying, a motivated Gareth Bale is very, very hard to stop. But it's about where Gareth Bale plays now, I think, is the big thing. Look, he probably should be a centre forward now. I think it's the point's probably gone where you need him to defend. The point's probably gone where he's got that raw pace acceleration. It's kind of that Cristiano Ronaldo evolution.
If the team, if let's pretend by some strange world that it's Britain at the Euros, not does Gareth Bale get in the team?
Oh yeah.
Straight away, without doubt.
I really don't think so. I think the amount of attacking talent that England have. So you'd probably say that Kane's going to play number 9. And I think that's above Bale as a 9.
Yeah, but are we talking like a prime Gareth Bale?
No, we're talking
current.
Now.
Yeah,
current. We're talking current. We're talking Team GB goes to the Euros, which would be pretty cool.
Nah.
Combining the nations. We get the Scottish aggression of Scott McTominay.
I think he gets in.
For who, though? You've got Sterling, you've got Sancho.
No, I think he'd be on the bench.
Rashford.
Yeah, I think he'd be on the bench.
Quality. Phil Foden.
Yeah, good point, Dave, well made. I think he starts on the bench. His move to La Liga, absolutely like headline grabbing, sort of going on for ages as well. But especially in my lifetime, our lifetime, there's not been, until recently, many players that have made that big, sensational move, especially to La Liga as well.
I think the big thing as well is it actually had success. I think if we look back on it, yeah, maybe he didn't have as big an impact as he could have done with the injuries and so forth. Obviously, we talk a lot about injuries on this and reasons why they haven't made the top level.
Well, no, you do.
That's big not, in the not Champions League. With that brush, you know, that's a short campaign, 13 games and you can win the thing.
Yeah.
I think that in itself has got to be regarded quite highly. You take a look at Eden Hazard. Another player that's gone over from the Premier League to Real Madrid and just completely flopped.
Yeah,
I think we've got to look at it is that, the you know, you look at Hazard was potentially playing at a slightly higher level than when Bale left. So Bale probably playing at a higher level at Real, but Hazard was at the peak of his game, went to Real Madrid and flopped. It's a hard thing to not only have be the highest, you know, the most expensive player in the world, and then make a success of it, take that on board. Obviously, a bit different with Ronaldo being there, the limelight shine on him, but he stepped up, which I think shows a lot about his character and his quality of personality, adaptability.
Goals. He scored a lot of them. Great ones as well. We've just been looking at some of them. But I think when he went to Madrid, like you said, you know, you sort of worry, can he keep it up here? And he has done. Neve, your favourite Gareth Bale goal, please.
So many to choose from, but I'm going to have to go with the Copa del Rey final goal, just rinsing Mark Bartra, absolutely just the pace on that. And it's just an unreal individual goal. And that, I think, just embodies Gareth Bale as a player, as an individual, that he can create that for himself, hence why he did so well with Wales and with Real Madrid as well in these tournaments, because he makes things happen himself. And that was just a great example of it.
I think that's so unique as well, because I've never seen a player like run off the pitch, run round a player, come on. And then if it was me, I'm a bit, you know, giraffe-y, a bit leggy, a bit Bambi, I'd be like, whoa, God.
Emil Heskey do it.
Yeah.
But apart from that, nobody
that's
else.
A bit of strength in there as well, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
To get the composure to put it through the keeper's legs at the end against Barca in a final. That's magic.
It is absolute magic. And I think it was like a little bit like big kid versus little kid at the school, where he literally just knocks the ball, then runs round him. I think Bartra puts in a pretty decent effort. Look, I'm probably cleaning back Bale out there, 2-footed. I'm gone.
You ain't getting anywhere near Bale, Dave, let's be
honest. Bartra, he goes, but I think a slight little bit more aggression, then he could ruin one of the greatest goals of all time. I think the pace and the power, and taking a final, like you say, and on his back and his shoulders, and that's the big thing with him, that some players just don't have that. Stepping up at those key moments, they get nervous. You know, we look at Tottenham when they made the Champions League final. Dele Alli looked like he hadn't played football before. Christian Eriksen looked like his touch had gone. But it was the nerves, and we forget that these occasions are absolutely massive. And to step up in finals is big, but it's not my goal.
Well, speaking of stepping up, turning around, and then blasting one in the top corner, yours is?
The second goal versus Liverpool.
No, come on, don't be.
It's got to be right.
Don't be.
The venom that, you know, the venom that he strikes the ball, crossing from the right-hand side, left-footed drive.
I feel sick as a parrot when I see Karius in that.
Karius just fumbles it because it's just too powerful.
Because that's
his
career over. And he has had a good season then, and just like two mistakes. Honestly, it's like just seeing someone die on stage. Do you know what I mean?
No.
It's just, he's over. He's done.
That obviously happened after the little Sergio Ramos incident with Mohamed Salah as well, and the little face slap.
We literally don't need to bring that up.
You can tell that Dave enjoyed every second of that football game.
Exactly, and Neve, I'm glad you're getting to find out the real stat man, Dave.
But I think that it is the first goal. I'd say that's probably the best goal scored in a Champions League final.
Better
than Zidane. Just because of how... I think the Zidane one, the trajectory of the cross is a lot...
It's more manageable.
That's got to be it. That's why Zidane doesn't like him.
There you go.
Completely stolen his limelight.
We found it out today.
That's it.
Well, it's probably solved.
Yeah, because that... Who is it? Modric that puts the ball in for the bicycle.
Marcelo, who had been on the back of being Real Madrid's best player in that tournament.
He fires it in there, doesn't he?
The third season, he was unbelievable. Scored an absolute banger or got an assist against Bayern where he just... little bit like Kaká making two players run into each other. It was, you know, sensational season from him. But the way Gareth Bale, like you're saying, low cross behind him to correct himself and then, you know, slot it into the back of the net with an overhead kick is...
And that was when the game was at 1-1 as well.
The game was at 1-1, big game state change, and it's a big moment. And Bale had come off the bench and Zidane had pretty much muddied him the whole season. And to have that impact and to win three Champions Leagues and it to be Gareth Bale to do it. Wasn't Ronaldo. Ronaldo had an injury hit campaign that season. Real Madrid weren't great, but they got the job done with Gareth Bale. I think that shows, again, the type of player Gareth was.
You're listening to 21st Century Football. We're just going to take a little break and then we'll be back.
Hello. Hello there. What voice do you want me to do? We will do a little bit. I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't. I actually love interaction with people. I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
When you bet fair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
The unmissable Sky Black Friday sale has arrived. Get Sky Q with the TV you love all in one place. And lightning fast broadband with our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home. Plus, choose from Sky Sports or Sky Cinema. All for just €60 a month for 12 months with no setup fees. Don't miss out this Black Friday. Just search Sky Black Friday. New customers only. Availability subject to location. Minimum terms and further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds. Offer ends December 9th.
Neve, Wales, golf, Madrid, in that order. Is that the right order for Gareth Bale?
So I thought you were going to say for me then, because I would have said...
What would be your order?
I'd say my order would probably be... I don't mind a trip to Wales, South Wales, in the summer.
What, like more than Madrid, though?
I get sunburnt. And, you know, it's a problem. And sun cream, it's not cheap. And it,
especially when you buy it out in Madrid. I've had that problem myself.
Or if you do it in the airport. Expensive. If you buy sun cream in the airport, it's absolutely disgrace.
Coming a mile off.
Absolutely. Well, I don't pack it because usually you've got your little hand luggage, haven't you? So you can't take over a certain amount of millilitres. So you obviously have to pay like €20
for you not
bottle.
To be packing sun cream, that is very irresponsible.
I'm fine. The ginger beard will protect
even
me.
In Manchester, you should be getting your SPFs on. But that's another point for another day. Neve, what would be your order then? Wales?
Yeah, Wales.
Wales for a holiday?
Wales for a trip, just a trip out.
Yeah.
Got a lot of mountains you can climb and stuff.
Yeah.
A bit of exercise. I'd say golf next, although I'm not going to lie, I'm not very good at it. I'll just stick to pitch and putt or crazy golf for my granddad or something like that. And then Madrid. Yeah, I've been to Madrid. It's a good city. It's just a bit hot.
Was that football related, holiday related?
No, I'd say holiday related. Yeah, so okay. I'm not thinking about the football, you see.
Got you. Dave, what would be yours?
I think I'm going to go Madrid first.
Yeah.
One of my favourite cities in the world. Love it.
Well,
great place.
You're well-travelled, aren't you?
Well-travelled gentleman up there with Berlin and Amsterdam.
Nice.
My favourite cities.
Wow, guys.
It's got a great culture with food and beer. So when you're in Madrid, you usually, there's usually like little pinchos, little snacks by the bar. So when you buy yourself a pint of, or not a pint, like a small beer, again, they don't mess about here. Buy yourself a small beer, accompanied by a little pincho, which could be a little hamburger, could be just anything, any tapas-related food. It's just incredible.
We have all had tapas, Dave. Like, but you're making out that you've just fucking discovered it.
No, I'm not making. I'm making the combination play that it's not just about beer. It's about food and beer at the same time. There's also a market that does incredible food as well that I'd recommend. If you want any more
travel
advice,
we've all got the internet, Dave. We've all read 10 things to do in Madrid. Are you a golfer?
I've played golf, but I'm not great. So that's probably why it's second. If I was better at golf, I'd probably say golf number one. And then unfortunately, Wales is third.
Well, that's just half the audience for this podcast.
If it was Scotland, maybe a bit higher. I do like
Scotland.
Scotland.
But we spoke about Gareth Bale's relationship with Wales, and you know, we sort of saw Gareth Bale smile when he was on the bench at Tottenham, but that was sort of to be reminiscent of what it looks like, the fun he's having when he's at Wales.
Yeah, I think the thing is, for me, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but from what we can see, I feel like that's obviously not professional, but I also think he's got every right to be unhappy at Real Madrid. You think about, we've just discussed some of the iconic moments that he's provided for them, coming off the bench and basically winning the Champions League, and with the Copa del Rey, like individual moments that have won them these trophies, and yet the disrespect is just, and I think I remember a video once, and I think the fact that he's Welsh as well, it just, like the language barrier and the culture barrier as well. Like I saw a video of all the players and he just looks so out of place. So it's not just the fans, it's the players as well. I just don't see a good relationship there. And so for him to then come out and do this is just such a big thing to do.
We're 31 now. Have we got any more iconic moments to see in the future for Bale?
Whether he can do something at the Euros with you know, something further. Obviously, getting to the semi was big, but if he can win it for them, that would be incredible. And I think we'd put him... I think he's underrated. I think we underrate Gareth Bale. But I think that would elevate him to a point of, we could say that he's probably above Neymar in terms of what he's done, if he can win the Euros for Wales.
Do you rate BBC or MSN more? Who would you rather have in your team?
I would probably go BBC.
Wow.
Because...
I think you're being controversial on purpose.
No, I stylistically like that better than the Barca team. I think the Barca team had a certain longevity to it, but it had key components, like even Rakitic had to do all of Messi's defensive work. Whereas I think that Real Madrid team was more complete, where they could change things. You know, they went from the 4-3-3 to the diamond to the 4-3-3 season after season. They played 4-4-2 for a bit. They were more adaptable. Whereas I think the issue with Neymar, Messi, Suarez is that Neymar, at the start of it, when they were winning things, was defending. And then he just got lazy. And I think that would be the long-term issue with that front three, is that there would be laziness there from the attackers to defend. And that's so important in modern football, and that's why I'd go BBC.
MSN for me. Just because Benzema ruins it for me. It's just a bit...
What do you have to say about that, Dave?
You need someone like Benzema in your team. You need a Makélélé. You need somebody that's going to do the dirty work. That's going
to
pull the centre back.
Benzema to Makélélé.
Similar facilitator of something great. Frank Lampard scored all the goals in midfield that season because Makélélé was a cleaner. Benzema creates space for Ronaldo. And it's so important to have that blend. The big thing that with Benzema as well is we forget that he had some massive, massive moments in certain games. Atletico Madrid, semi or quarters, I remember. He basically turned up. I think it was that Champions League run where he turned up, and he had to. And that's why I think when you look at Suarez and you look at Messi and you look at Neymar,
yeah,
there's no grit about them. There's nothing ugly about them. And I think that's what Karim Benzema brings the three.
You've got the deciding vote, Nick.
I love that your argument, you've given us a detailed argument and you've just said I'd pick MSN, and I'm going to sit here and say... You've convinced me more, Will.
Thank you.
And I'm going to say MSN.
That's fair enough. Look, you guys can...
It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
It is.
You're all right. The conviction. In Paris, but my team is going to win.
You just look at Dave and you think, I'm not having that. This time of the show to rate Gareth Bale. Would you go for a drink with him, Niamh, out of 10?
Yeah, I'm going to say a solid 9.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think he seems like he's got a bit of banter about him. And there's no language barrier.
Yeah.
And go for it.
Another good YouTube video?
Yeah, really good YouTube video. I can do like a clickbait thumbnail.
Yeah.
and it's like him holding a Real Madrid shirt really angrily.
Nice.
And then I could title it The Truth. But all it really is that I've asked him, like, you know, what's his best golf round?
Yeah, absolute YouTube royalty right here.
Don't say that in front of Dave, because he will take
I might have to do that idea. Gareth Bale, The Truth.
Statman, what are you going for?
You see, I'm a man that does like a pint here and there.
Congrats.
You know, a vodka, like, I just think it'd be a bit boring. I think me and Gareth will have a bit to talk about, like the finals, I could big him up and stuff.
The alcohol doesn't make it, Dave, it's the man that makes it.
Hold on. So, we get to a point where we'd have gone through all the golf. We'd have gone through Madrid, we'd done Wales, we'd done everything.
Yeah.
And that's where you need to be a little bit different, you know, talk a little bit of rubbish. And I just think...
That's not exclusive, though. There might be more to the man than those three
things.
I might be a massive wrestling fan.
It could be, but then again, that's not going to help me out. It'll help you out, going for a drink with him.
Yeah, well, it's a big 10 from me, so let me just put
that
out.
10 from you. You see, I think there'd be some interesting stuff. I'm going to go for a 7.
And speaking of The Truth, getting to the bottom of the Zidane stuff, I mean, that would be...
You see, that would be a turn up for that.
So what are you saying, sorry?
A 7.
Teetotal
thing, you know, no Jager bombs, no tequila shots. Come on, Gareth.
That'd be a great way to reignite the Jeremy Kyle show, but the Neve Pegg show. I've got Zidane.
Yeah.
And I've got Gareth Bale.
Nice.
I'm going to do a lie detector for Zidane. Is it or is it not because he scored an overhead kick that was arguably better than yours that you've got a personal grudge against this man?
I'm clicking straight on that video and watching it.
It's yours.
In.
Would you play five-a-side football with him, Neve?
No, I wouldn't.
How come?
I'm going to give him a 1 because I feel like he will try and do these overhead kicks for five-a-side and it's just not compatible. You know, if he tries running outside the five-a-side pitch to prove a point how fast he is, then he'll come back on the other entrance to see if he can rinse someone. It's like, come on.
We're not here to be embarrassed.
We're here to have a game of football.
Hard at goal, especially with social distancing as well.
Yeah.
If you're trying to beat someone.
Yeah, very dangerous.
What are you going for?
You see, I think he'd be a great team player again. I think you can give him the ball and he'll do everything. It's just whether his attitude is there. Look, I think I've got quite a lot of similarities with Zinedine
big,
Zidane.
Massive moral compass,
you know, in terms of how you'd set up a team and tactics and so forth. I don't know if Gareth is, you know, if I'm giving a team talk and like, Gareth, right, you're not playing on the right today. We're going to put you back on the left.
So you think one he's listening
to? We want a performance from the Harry Redknapp days. Just think of me as Harry
Wheeler Dealer.
We've got Lennon on one side, you're on the other side, we're going to have a great party. And he's going to...
And how crap would you feel then if you saw a picture of him holding a flag that said Wales Golf Madrid five-a-side with Statman Dave?
That's the problem. So I'm going to give him a 5. I think that is the big issue. I think he could do that to me. He could really cut me deep.
I'm going to go for a 7 because five sides the pinnacle for me, and as we've discussed on the show, he turns up in the big moment, so that's a big moment
so
for me.
So you're talking finally. That could be the problem though, like league season, not great, but if you've got a knockout, like one, let's say we're going for a day knockout, he'd be perfect.
No, but I think every Thursday Dan Hardwick's a final for me, so if he's turning up like he has done, he's going to turn up for me as well. So it's a 7 from me. Iconic moments. Neve.
Done it at every level that you can. And therefore, you've got to give him a 9.
9, like that, yeah. I think I'll just jump in there because I'm going to give him a 9. Hasn't won the Ballon d'Or. I'm not going to discredit him with international stuff because, you know, he sort of carried Wales.
I think he gets an extra point for that.
Yeah, go on then.
Give him a 10.
Just a 9. You giving him a 10?
No, I said you give him a 10.
Don't tell me what I'm doing, Dave. You're not managing my rating.
Well, sometimes I might need to, mate, because sometimes I've heard your ratings and they are a proper shot.
What are you going for?
I'm going to go with a 9. I kind of agree. I think it would be a 10 if he wins it with Wales. I think that's the big thing. He could be a 10 by the end of his career. 31. I wouldn't say Gareth Bale is 31. No chance.
No, I'm being a drama queen. Triple my 1 to a 3 because I don't want to be the reason why he gets a real poorer score than Aguero or other players just because I've put a 1 for his five-a-side
ability.
I like that.
You're adaptable. You've taken some feedback on board.
Yeah, well, that's what you should be doing.
He did not score some players
Aguero,
right.
He wears blue, not red. 1, 1, 1. That's you.
Actually scored him better than 3.
26. Carry the 1. We've got a final score in, guys. Out of 90, Gareth Bale scored 70.
Great score.
I think it's very easy to think, even without doing research, of iconic moments like that with him. So are we happy with that score, Neve?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Dave?
Yeah, I just really, really worried about what we scored Cristiano Ronaldo.
That doesn't matter because... you know,
I'm super worried here.
If it was like, an ability one, it'd be...
We have really let ourselves down.
What did you score
here?
Cristiano?
It doesn't matter. And there we have it. The Bale episode is complete and we've got to chat about one of the finest footballers of the 21st century. Thank you very much, Niamh. Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, a bit
thank
better.
You. Yeah, I did.
Oh, good. Statman?
Yeah, I had a great time.
Love that.
Finally correctly scoring people. It's always great, mate.
If you enjoyed the podcast and you want to help us out, make sure you go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review and a rating. It helps us out more than you will ever know. Follow us on social media and, of course, our YouTube channel. And if you'd like to listen to another podcast, please search for the Football Book Club, a club where instead of reviewing great literature, they review footballers' autobiographies like Phil and Gary Neville's for club and country. And on that note, we'll see you again next time.
It sound right, boy.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
When you Betfair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1-2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Sports Social Podcast Network.